knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys.
Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas.
Andy.
It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes that sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is, I finally got an appointment to get a vaccine.
Yay!
Yeah. Thank you.
Very exciting.
I'm past due in terms of, like, the groupings and what have you,
yeah.
And I've been trying to find a place where I can go get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finally, as people are listening to this, it comes out on Friday.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going tomorrow to get my shot. So I'm excited about that.
I'm very excited.
Excited
about
on
that.
Embarking on this next chapter of life.
We're free, or something, approximating
like
it.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also as a sort of byproduct of this bright spot. I don't know if there's going to be, you know, any kind of side effects,
totally.
Like a fever or, you know,
yeah,
tiredness
absolutely.
Or anything. And so in the interest of that, I'm going to give myself the weekend for just self and rest.
Recuperation. Yeah.
And so our Monday episode will actually come out on Wednesday.
Yes.
We're going to push that back just for the sake of
safety. Better safe than sorry,
yeah,
et cetera.
I would like to sit around and drink some tea, maybe,
yeah.
or something. You know,
if there's anything that the pandemic has taught us, it's maybe be overly cautious from time to time.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of I want to be like that image of what my parents thought I was doing when I stayed home from school sick. When I was in school.
Oh, he's just watching The Price is Right like everybody else
just
does.
Just sipping soup.
Just sitting there with a little blanket on.
Just
yeah.
broth.
Oh, yeah.
Letting those fumes open up my pores and my sinuses.
Yeah, you got it.
So that's exciting.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. How
We're
about
all
you?
Very excited. My bright spot, Dan, is Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Yeah, you were telling me
has
new
put
album.
Out a new album, and it is spectacular.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Mm-hmm.
They're on like almost 25 years as a band or mm-hmm. something. They're incredible. It's fantastic. They still got it, Dan.
I feel like you and I were supposed to do something, and you couldn't because you had to listen to the album.
I was too busy
repeat.
Listening to Godspeed.
hey, work can't get done.
Sorry,
because,
I would love to help, but Godspeed released a new album, so I'm going to have to listen to this 40-minute opus.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. So, Jordan, today we have an interesting little bit to go over. I don't know if you've been able to keep unaware of some of the news.
Some of it I have been unable to stay unaware of.
All right. So we'll get into some of that.
All right.
Boy. before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello and thank you to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
First, this person, J.D.O. J.D.O. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Sure. J.D.O.
they were kind enough to mention tell me about an event that's coming up in Oklahoma
uh-huh.
where all kinds of weirdos are speaking, and man, I want to go. I believe Mike Adams has given a speech.
Oh, no.
I really would like to go, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. But anyway, thank you, JDO.
I'm a policy wonk.
You're now
thank
a policy
you.
Wonk. Next, Oi Hawken. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. Oi, Hawken.
This person also wanted me to give a shout out to the Knowledge Fighters. Apparently there's a Discord server. Is that what it's called?
I guess? No idea. Discord is beyond me.
Yeah, me too. But there's apparently a place where listeners of the show congregate and chat up. And I've heard it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. So
that's really great that I'm just now finding out.
next, Justice for Nonk. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
And that is our rallying cry, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Next, P. Biggs. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, P. Biggs.
Thank you. Next, Der Querdenker. Der Querdenker. Thank you so much. You're okay. now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Sherquerdinker.
Oh, boy.
I think they said that they wanted me to mispronounce
it. Mispronounce it? Yeah. Okay.
Next, Zap Rodozer. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Zap Rodozer.
Rose Dozer. Thank
Zap
you so much.
Rose Dozer. Apologies.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm only here mm-hmm. Zap Brannigan in my head, so sure. That's what I got.
Next, Jux definitely killed his daughter. Chuck Norris wasn't wearing a wig. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so very much.
And finally, I'd like to say thank you and give a shout out to a new technocrat. This is thank you so much. Treadmark, you are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare InfoWar on you.
Thank you so much, Treadmark.
Yes, thank you very much, Treadmark.
Treadmark also wanted me to give a shout out to Reddit board. Ah, shit, I forgot the name of it.
R the Donald, I believe, was the one that he really wanted to get out there.
Mm. So, Jordan, there's been some news.
Yes, Dan.
So, I'd been all ready to go back to 2003 for today's episode, have mm-hmm. some fun, well, learning about the past and yep, what have you.
Of course.
But then at the last minute, all my plans got thrown into whack.
As is always the case.
Alex went down to the border. He was looking for a soul to steal.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday, he released a video of himself accosting somebody who was transporting some children, possibly recklessly, in the back of a station wagon.
Sure.
Alex, or maybe it was more of a van. I don't know. I don't know car types. Anyway, Alex and his associates yell at the guy driving the car about how he's been caught smuggling people.
Sure.
And it is a huge mess.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what all the details of this situation are at this point, but I do know that I don't believe for a second that Alex and his dumb posse found someone just smuggling children casually. I'm going to wait to dig into this until there's a little bit more public information, because I could see this going a couple different directions. And honestly, Alex better keep his fingers crossed, because it looks like a couple things in that video that he released could be crimes.
Oh, that's not good.
He's sitting there banging like on the roof of a car, trying to physically stop it from leaving, which could be a problem. He's acting in ways that some might interpret as defamatory.
I mean, it does a little bit sound like Alex Jones just started attacking Clark Griswold on the way to the fucking theme park.
I'm not a legal expert, but it really looks like this video is an open and shut case of defamation against a charity that is alleged to be involved in this smuggling. This is Catholic Charities RGV. Their address and signs are clearly shown in the video.
That's not
and
good.
The accusation is very clear from Alex's actions that this charity is essentially a front for smuggling.
That's probably defamatory.
This organization is the Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, and the specific building that Alex was staking out was the Humanitarian Crisis Relief Center that they began operating last summer.
Right.
According to their website, this is at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church in McAllen, Texas, and quote, "The center provides a place for the countless men, women, and children and infant refugees to rest, have a warm meal, a shower, and change into clean clothing, as well as receive medicine and other supplies before continuing on their journey."
So Alex was like, quick, someone's acting Christ-like. Destroy them.
Yep.
Okay.
If you look into this specific charity, it becomes a little interesting that Alex would choose this one to focus on. The organization was started by a nun named Sister Norma Pimentel, who was a very fierce and public critic of Trump's border policies. To her credit, she was also a vocal opponent of Obama's policies, but that probably doesn't matter to Alex. She wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post in February 2020 titled, quote, "President Trump, don't ignore the suffering at the border caused by your policies." In 2019, she was invited to participate in what was called a roundtable conversation about issues at the border with Trump himself.
That one was called Back in the Habit, I believe.
Sister Pimentel was disappointed by what she experienced, as she discussed in an interview with Texas Monthly. Quote, "Trump asked every single person at the table to say something, and I realized that when they were speaking, they were just reaffirming what it was that he had talked about and congratulating him. I realized that the roundtable was about listening to and reaffirming his plans. He didn't really give local people an opportunity to say anything."
That is unsurprising.
Very recently, in March 2021, she was featured in an article in the Rio Grande Guardian that begins like this. Quote, "The executive director of Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley thanks God for President Biden's decision to reverse the Trump administration's migrant protection protocols policy. Sister Norma Pimentel Says it's God's plan to have asylum requests of unaccompanied minors from Central America fully processed in the United States.
Sure.
Mere days ago, on April 4th, Sister Pimentel was interviewed on Face the Nation, where she discussed how Biden's changes to Trump's policies have changed her work.
Okay, so you're saying that a few days ago, just a few days, perhaps even, what, 1 or 2 days before this incident occurred?
Right around.
The person who began or started the very charity that Alex accosted and defamed,
who has been a
was
very,
on TV,
who's and also been a longtime public critic of Trump's policies,
right?
And again, for the sake of giving it up for moral clarity,
sure,
and consistency,
sure. Yeah,
was,
yeah,
also a critic of Obama's policies,
yeah,
and is a critic of these new policies not going far enough, but in as much as they are representative of progress in the areas,
right,
that she works in, she is congratulatory of them.
So what you have just told me is that this was a completely extemporaneous event. Alex was wandering around and heard the call to action.
No, but here's the thing.
Instinctively ran to stop this human trafficking from occurring.
No, but here's the thing. I can totally believe he doesn't know any of this.
I actually can't totally believe that, too. It could totally be a coincidence. Yeah.
I was looking into this charity and, like, trying to understand a little bit more about it.
Uh-huh.
And, like, all these things. Like, oh, this is a person who's in a... someone who Alex absolutely would target.
Oh, despise, yeah.
But at the same time, I can totally see this just being a situation where... he went to McAllen, Texas.
Yeah.
Was hanging out outside waiting for the optics to be right.
Sure.
Then he created a scene.
Sure.
Did a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
And blah, 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 blah. Here we go.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But better hope this doesn't go to court, because I think you could make a pretty compelling case that Alex has a reason to have animus towards this organization based on their political differences.
I'm struggling to live in a world where a judge might disagree with me on what is very clearly an open and shut case. I don't like living in a world where a judge is like, well, if you interpret that, no, this is too obvious.
Yeah. So I don't really care to deconstruct this video in and of itself, because it's just Alex yelling at a guy in a car.
It's great.
On April 8th, the Catholic Charities released a statement hoping to clarify the various defamatory claims made by Alex. The response makes total sense. The only thing
that
the only thing that I think is missing is a threat of legal action.
Yeah.
But again, this is up to everybody themselves to deal with on their own terms and decide whether they want to go through that rigmarole,
yeah,
and that,
yeah,
public embarrassment.
It
and
will be
difficulty.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
No.
I would wish it on Alex, though. So never mind. I would wish that on my worst enemy. Yeah.
I wouldn't wish whatever the person suing him would have to go through. All the difficulty.
Yeah.
I understand why some people are reluctant
totally,
but boy, this seems like a pretty easy case.
Shouldn't take too long to work its way through the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can imagine Alex giving a blustery speech about how he'll fight this or die.
Sure.
And then a week later issuing a public apology that,
listen, I don't want to get in the way of nuns doing all their business.
Love nuns.
Nuns are good people. Yeah.
Did you see Sister Act 2 back in the habit?
This is how
I'm going to poach Jordan's joke.
It was pretty great.
So yeah, I don't want to talk about that video in and of itself, but what I thought might be interesting is seeing what happens on the 8th, because this is Thursday. This is after he's had the social media flare up,
sure,
over this video.
Sure. He's had his moment.
It's been posted. We went all kinds of viral,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted to see where he was at on the 8th.
Sure, let's see what happens.
So here's an out of context drop from this show.
I'm not okay.
And is anybody the good guy in Ukraine? They've been killing each other for so long, Eastern and Western Ukraine. It's like the Hathcocks and McCoys.
What?
Is anybody the bad guy in Ukraine is a dark question.
Well, you're focusing on a different part than I'm focusing on.
I understand
the
that.
The Hathcocks and the McCoys?
I don't know what to do with the Hathcocks and the McCoys. I just heard that and stroked out.
Yeah, I know that the people misspeak and whatever, and I'm not a nitpicker, but this is an out-of-context drop, first of all.
Sure.
And second of all, if there's anything that Alex's persona should know a lot about...
Oh, the Hatfields and the McCoys?
Yes.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
Not the half-asses in the McCoys.
The half-cocks. Yikes.
Oh, man. Now I want to start a gang called the Halfcocks and just never explain the name.
Sure.
People are just like, why do they call them the Halfcocks?
Yeah, we should get windbreakers.
Unrelated to this conversation entirely. That was just a random thought. We should just get windbreakers.
Yeah. So here we're going to start here on April 8th. And I will say, it seems like Alex isn't even thinking about the border, this video,
of course,
anything.
Of course.
The alarm bells are hitting. China has now, with aircraft carriers and over 100 ships, large ships, thousands total, encircled Taiwan and has heavy bombers flying over it. The Taiwanese say they may start firing missiles any minute. That was this morning, last night there. All hell is breaking loose. The Russians are massing troops on the edge of Ukraine because Biden's sending in heavy weapons, and there are major artillery battles going on between proxy U.S. and Russian forces, and we are not the good guys in this.
So we got a world war coming together here.
Yeah, that does sound pretty much the canary in the coal mine.
This seems to be the line that Alex is taking now, which I find interesting because a couple days prior, he was really going hard on this SPARS document.
Sure, sure.
And then he went to the border and did a giant publicity stunt.
Right, right, right.
And now it's world war.
Now we're moving on.
This is confusing.
This is
chaotic.
What I am hearing while he speaks is the advice of a lawyer in his ear going, don't explain anything about that.
Do
you remember what happened with the $1 million bounty? Do you remember it?
Oh, no. I mean, you're wrong about that, but it's weird that he starts the show like this. He does get into the video eventually.
Oh, okay. Well, of course.
So if there's a lawyer in his ear, he forgets about it very quickly.
You got to keep the lawyer in there at all times.
I think that one of the reasons that Alex is going on and starting his show, sort of leading with this idea about World War and all this, is because that day Biden was giving a speech. About gun control regulation ideas.
Sure.
And that fits more in those sets of narratives.
Yeah.
I'll make more clear what I mean a little bit later as we go through. But the beginning of this show and a large portion of the top of it is Alex playing Biden's speech and then just sort of rambling over it.
Sure.
Thank you for having the courage.
You care so much about violence. That's why Obama funded the Arab Spring.
This fight.
Fast and Furious killed millions.
Senator Blumenthal understands it.
With the guns that went to the Middle East and Mexico.
A lot of folks out here understand it.
He transshipped weapons to terrorists in Mexico.
Thank you.
To
turn
the
pain into purpose and demand that we take the action that gives
meaning. He's a gun-running communist Chinese criminal.
Enough.
Yeah, enough of you funded terrorists, you drug-dealing pedophile.
Oh, boy. So it's that. It's that for a while. It's
he's interrupting
annoying.
Like Joe Biden is the highwayman.
It's a little annoying.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah. So he keeps insisting that Fast and Furious is the silver bullet that will take down the Biden administration.
Ooh, how long did it take to get there? It seems like that should have happened way earlier.
He kept calling Biden Obama, and then
he just put it together.
Yeah, for a while he's been calling.
That's so frustrating.
Like, oh, the reason I keep calling him Obama is because it's Biden.
Biden was right there, guys. Yeah. It was right there. Yeah. It's not hard to get there.
Nope. This is Alex doing his level best at being Rush.
This is why the right is terrible at comedy. They can't even pick up found jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
so
terrible.
I would say that if Alex were to get sued over this video where he is, you know, in my opinion, probably defaming this charity.
Yeah, almost certainly.
One of his best defenses might be that, like, not many people saw it. You know, it's no big deal. Unfortunately, here he is bragging.
See, now there's where we get into trouble.
And then what happened yesterday, 2 days ago? We put out the video that has probably 50 million views. I mean, it's just everywhere. And the smuggling going on, it's all illegal. He didn't sign an executive order. He didn't pass a law. He didn't repeal a law. He just said, surge us before he was even stole the election. And then now he congratulates them on the great job they've done. And then there's the, quote, Catholic charity that's run by the Democratic Party.
Quote.
Just one of the facilities there in McAllen, Texas. And there they are loading little kids in to a trunk like luggage. And we stop them. The police say, yeah, what you're doing is illegal. Take them out. They go inside. We catch more cars doing it. We haven't even put that footage out.
I don't think you will.
No.
I suspect that that footage is not forthcoming.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. Yeah, I mean, he's just bragging about how many people saw this, which I think works against his eventual probable argument that he's going to need to make.
Yeah, he's
to
not
downplay
good at this.
This.
He's not good at this.
Yeah.
This is not good.
But then again, if he doesn't get sued and there's no legal trouble, then I guess he...
Yep.
Anyway, Alex has this bee in his bonnet about the idea that people are saying that he staged this whole thing. He went down to the border and he staged it.
Well, it seems like he didn't like capture a coyote so much as found people who were doing exactly what they said they were going to be doing and accosted them.
Yeah.
And then how does literally dozens of national newspapers said Jones probably staged this. There are no crisis. Yeah, I staged the McAllen police. I staged the kids being put in a trunk. I mean, if I could stage something like that with a $100 million budget, I would be better than...
Is Joe Rogan going to pay for it?
The top directors out there.
Alex couldn't think of one director.
Spielberg, no, he's a globalist. Scorsese, no, he's a globalist.
Quentin Tarantino, I hate him.
I hate that guy. Ryan Johnson, no, I wasn't a fan of The Last Jedi. What else do we got?
I'm still bitter that I wasn't in Guardians of the Galaxy.
James Gunn, yeah. Add that one into the list. Yep. All he's got is Clint Eastwood.
Probably.
Yeah.
So the media didn't say this about Alex. On April 7th, I couldn't find like any media outlets even really covering this publicity stunt. Any actual media outlets. I mean, there was like a Gateway pundit.
Sure.
But there were a bunch of random people tweeting about it. And I think that Alex is just pretending that random tweets saying that he probably staged the video is the same thing as dozens of media outlets and national newspapers covering it.
What is new media other than tweets going national, man?
Yeah.
That's new media.
I think I've come up with this equation, and that is random tweets plus narcissism equals literally dozens of national newspapers.
That's a good equation.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on. So Alex is saying that everybody's saying that he just made this up and he staged it. And it's like back in 2009 when he covered Bilderberg, man, and everybody said that he was making it up.
And the New York Times said it did not exist and that I was having a full schizophrenic breakdown in the parking lot. That's because back then, folks, Bilderberg didn't exist. Within 2 years... it was all over the news because back then the Drudge Report was not, I guess, run by CNN. Now, I was told that CNN bought it 2 years ago. I didn't believe it. It looks like it's true. But Drudge, the real Drudge, back when Drudge actually owned it, exposed all that.
This is so fucking stupid. A quick search will disprove the idea that the media claimed that Bilderberg didn't exist until 2008. I'm sorry, I said 2009 earlier. When Alex and Drudge exposed it. For instance, there's a September 2005 article in the BBC titled, quote, Inside the Secretive Bilderberg Group.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could look at John Ronson's 2001 book, Them, Adventures with Extremists, excerpts of which were published in The Guardian. And it was accompanied by the release of his TV show, Secret Rulers of the World, which featured an episode where he and Alex Jones go to Bohemian Grove.
Nope.
And the other episode of it was about the Bilderberg Group.
No tweets at the time.
Oh, there's also a reference to the Bilderberg meetings in a 1999 Wired article that you can easily find.
All right.
When Alex said that the media said that he was imagining the whole thing, what he means is that no one accepted his imaginary framing of real life events. People didn't say that the meeting or the group itself didn't exist, just that the stories that Alex was selling his audience about them didn't stand up to scrutiny.
Yeah.
That's the accusation, not that he made up the Bilderberg group.
Excuse me, Alex, you're full of shit can mean many different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to learn more about how the Drudge Report was secretly sold to CNN 2 years ago. Sounds like another thing that Alex is pulling out of thin fucking air.
I would be interested to hear about that. Did you look deep into that?
I didn't.
You didn't? Did you reach out to Drudge for comment?
I looked for tax filings. I don't know.
Sure.
It's nonsense.
Yeah, whatever.
So I think that there's overlap between this idea of, like, when people are accusing Alex of making stuff up, they're not talking about, like, the actual event or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And so, like, with the video that he shot down near the border, it's the same thing. It's like, you didn't make up that someone got in a car. You're just lying about the surrounding
9/11
context.
Was an inside job. You're full of shit. You don't think 9/11 happened? No, obviously it happened.
Yeah, you may have actually said it didn't happen at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fair.
I got to review all the tapes.
Yeah.
So when Alex is making these accusations, obviously, that's bad. But there are certainly ways that he could make the situation worse, which he decides to do in this next clip.
Putting out $1 million bounty.
And I'm not going to say what we're going to do, but I'm obviously going to be going back to the border very soon. I'm not going to say it's going to be tomorrow or even this weekend. It might be today. I'm just going to tell you that. I've already decided when I'm going. I'm going. I'm not going to tell this system how or when. And quite frankly, if I had the money, because we're maxed out right now, I would have a full-time team just in McAllen and in Brownsville roving the Texas border. It is wild, wild west, insane, illegals everywhere you go, buses everywhere you go, total children sleeping in dirt under bridges. We sent a drone in there. They had a geofence up so we couldn't show them in the dirt, but Project Veritas got folks in there. We have all these whistleblowers, all this whistleblower video, people that saw children being raped inside the facilities. We broke that on Monday. Now you see Governor Abbott talking about it. I mean, I flew over with a helicopter. We have hours and hours and hours of this footage. And that's why you need to go to InfoWarsStore.com so we can stay on air.
Wow.
Now do you see what's happening? Is everything we talked about went on, despite the fact you're trying to censor us and block us. InfoWars, I want to report to you our success so that you understand why you've supported us as the core audience of the core radio stations that are, like, you know, funding us to go out and be the missionaries to tell the truth against the globalists. That's what you're doing here.
So there's something a little bit disgraceful about using this as a, like, directly as a fundraising.
Yeah, it's a little bit like holding your audience hostage.
Yeah. It also will be difficult for Alex, were somebody to sue him for this, it would be hard for him to argue that he's not using it in order to make money.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what he's doing here.
Yeah. And as far as the criminal malicious intent towards the border, saying, I'm not going to tell the system how or when I'm going to get there, seems like admitting to a certain amount of suspicious activity at
least. I'm
going to
be sneaky.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you want to escalate this even further, Alex has a great idea for you. And that is one of his old tricks.
I mean, I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that anybody, because I don't care about getting the scoop. If Ben Shapiro wanted to go down to McAllen, or if Tucker Carlson wanted to go down to McAllen, and he probably will, or anywhere. Ted Nugent says he wants to go with me down there. I'm going to take him down there. He's a fellow Texan. You'll sit there for 30 minutes and you'll see kids getting crammed in trunks, okay? I mean, you can't swing a stick in the dark and not hit smugglers down there.
There is a sense that Alex is giving off that is like, you should go.
Yeah, of course. We're all going. We're all going. It's going to be a great big party.
Anybody who goes down there will immediately find proof of this illegal human trafficking ring. And you need to, you know, hey, all these people, if they went, if Ben Shapiro had the nerve to do it, he could get the scoop. I don't care about getting the scoop. Everyone should go. You should go. That's a bad thing to do when you're escalating people's suspicion and belief that they're fighting the literal devil and all this to such a heightened point, and then be like, oh, hey, you all should go down there. You'll find direct evidence of all this stuff. I mean, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah. I mean,
he has every single time in the past.
I don't want to, like, here's the thing about, you know, you don't want to get into, like, slippery slope arguments with restricting speech, of course. So what I think we should do is write a very, very narrow law that puts out step by step what Alex did for Pizzagate. Mm-hmm. And then is like, you just can't do that. All of that stuff, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And then Alex wouldn't be able to do this shit.
Yeah, and you know, the part about it that always gets a little bit muddy is that, like, yeah, not every time that you behave like this, it causes a horrible outcome like a shooting.
Of course.
But
we have proof that it can and does from time to time.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
So stop doing the things that lead there.
Here's why it's not a free speech argument. Are you going to or have been inspiring people to go commit terrifying acts?
And have you really faced any consequences?
Yeah, exactly.
I would say you've been rewarded.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, so Alex spends a lot of time on this episode talking about Biden trying to take the guns.
Because
mm-hmm. Biden has some ideas about, you know, hey, it is a little bit terrifying, the prospect of, you know, being able to get kits where you can make a gun. And
yeah.
None of the parts have any kind of serial number.
Totally.
Completely untraceable guns. Mm-hmm. It's certainly something that in the wrong hands could lead to a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Also, the ability to just, you know, buy guns on the internet.
I mean, they trace fucking cold medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he has, you know, he has some ideas. I'm not the biggest expert in the world, but when I was listening to the ideas, it didn't sound like anything that was too terrifying.
No, I think I will be fine.
But anyway, Alex thinks that China is trying to use Biden to get the guns for a specific reason.
Really, the big news is the Chi-Coms are trying to cause a civil war, knowing that this will trigger a civil war and a bloodbath for everybody, which I'm not looking forward to, which I do not want, but nevertheless is a fact. So there you go. That's what's going on there. Everybody else will debate, oh, he wants to save children.
This doesn't make any sense.
No.
So now the globalist plan is to start a civil war, like, at the behest of China for some reason, and that's going to, I guess, kill a lot of people?
Yep.
I thought their plan was soft killing everyone with vaccines and then having an orderly extermination, and if that didn't work, then their plan B was to release super bioweapons just to kill everyone off.
Yeah, but that was last week.
How does a civil war or world war fit into that plan exactly? Like, how is gun regulation a part of the bioweapon plan?
Yeah, it would be a really dumb civil war to have if, like, while you're fighting it, half of your army is just going to drop dead from the vaccine at any moment.
It seems like if the plan was these bioweapons, the globalists shouldn't care if you have guns. Like, you can't shoot a virus. I kept this clip in to illustrate how none of Alex's narratives mean anything. Everything is self-serving and meant to escalate whatever he's decided to make his audience afraid of that day. In this case, Biden's giving this speech on gun reform ideas, and thus the thing to profit off making the listeners scared of is gun confiscation. That narrative doesn't really match up with the whole thing Alex has been doing with vaccine fear-mongering, so you can't really say that the gun regulation is part of the whole bioweapon thing. Thus, he pretends that, you know, this isn't the entire thing he's been ranting about forever.
Now
it's time to be scared about war.
It's war that we need to be scared about. It's the summer of rage, Dan!
Also, if all Alex's enemies were working for the literal devil, it seems like they wouldn't be all on such different pages. Like, if the devil had this plan that they were supposed to be trying to carry out, why would China mess around with Taiwan when that could only really get in the way of following through on the larger plan? That seems really weird, and I would love Alex to explain that.
Well, what it is, so it's what it is, it's a Japanese management strategy that the devil is using here, all right? You have many different divisions, and you don't share all of the information because they're all working for the same end goal, but they've got their own strategies. That's how you create new solutions to problems, Dan.
I feel like the devil, were this devil to be singularly focused on one objective.
Sure.
I don't know if there would be a need for teams to be working across purposes.
You haven't been reading Japanese management models.
You do make a fair point.
Yeah.
So anyway, Biden wants the guns.
Sure.
And Trump, you know, he said that he wanted red flag laws.
Right. But that didn't happen, so we're good.
But also, he was being sneaky, and it was different.
Of course.
Completely different.
And, of course, the red flag laws. You know, Trump was like, oh, red flag means if you've been adjudicated mentally ill and you're a schizophrenic, and you were, you know, kicked out of the Air Force was the case they brought to him, but they never put the Air Force records in that he was dishonorably discharged in an Air Force mental institution for 2 years. And Trump's like, yeah, that guy shouldn't have a gun. Oh, the conservatives, Trump wants to, no. Okay, well, Trump's gone. Let's not, the bad guy's gone. Don't have him to kick anymore. We got Biden saying, if anybody has a concern about you, your guns are gone. You don't get them back most of the time. And you get the SWAT team raid that ensues. So, civil war.
Whoa. So, this is how Alex wants to remember Trump's comments on red flag laws, but that's not what Trump said. This was in 2019, after the mass shootings in Dayton and El Paso. Trump said, quote, first, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I'm directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as social media companies, to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. That doesn't sound like adjudicating someone as mentally ill. That seems like talking to like social media, taking the posts from social media to identify people who may be unwell and then getting their guns taken away.
It's almost like Alex thinks reality is whatever fits his narrative at any given point in time. It's really weird.
Honestly, what Trump was talking about seems way more invasive and draconian than anything that Biden's proposing. Trump went on, quote, "We must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement." Seems like Alex should be against that pretty strongly. These people have not committed any crimes, but because some globalist doctor is saying that they might commit one, we should have laws that they get locked up? This is pre-crime. It's, Trump wants to bring in the guys in the tanks from the Tom Cruise movie.
It's pre-cogs. It's mission, it's mission what? Not Mission Impossible. Minority Report. Minority Report. Yeah.
Oh, this is Philip K. Dick shit.
They're coming for us. Yeah.
Trump continued, quote, "We must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms. And if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I've called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty, and that this capital punishment be delivered quickly, decisively, and without years of needless delay."
Yeah.
As a libertarian type and someone who's insanely anti-government, Alex should be really afraid of a president calling for expedited death sentences, especially since Alex thinks that most people who commit mass shootings are secretly patsies. Also, that was the speech where Trump said, quote, "May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo, and may God protect them," because he misread a teleprompter.
Yeah.
The shooting was in Dayton.
Yep.
Anyway, the point of this is that Alex has created an ahistorical version of Trump's response to mass shootings and his public support for red flag laws, because what Trump advocated is directly counter to a lot of what should make sense as Alex's positions, and that's kind of messy.
I think it's easier to hand wave it away and say, the past is the past. Let's move on and think about the future. Trump isn't president anymore. We don't need to think about all the stuff he said.
I mean, even sputtered through that in that clip.
Yeah. Whoa. We don't learn from history here. How dare any of you?
Yeah. Let's not deal with what was said realistically. Let's just have fun.
Hey.
So, who do you think the world's most powerful doctor is?
The world's most powerful doctor?
Yeah.
Doom?
Sure. Yeah, he has his own country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's pretty powerful.
What about Oz?
Dr. Oz? No, I don't think he's very powerful.
Dr. Phil is rich as hell.
Dr. Phil is pretty powerful.
But he couldn't stand up to Dr. Doom. I think you really cheated the game there.
Dr. Doom is a little bit of a he's a little bit of a winner there.
He has lightning powers, right?
No, the Super Stretch Man is a doctor too. He's more powerful
Mr.
than
Fantastic?
Dr. Doom. Yeah, Mr. Fantastic.
Super
Why do
Stretch
I call
Man?
Him Super Stretch Man? I don't know. Super
See,
Stretch Man.
This is why people think that I'm not amused by things you said. I was just laughing really hard, but silently.
Yes, yeah, naturally.
Sometimes it just doesn't play on the mic.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, Invisible Woman was a doctor too, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
No. Invisible, the flame guy was, Jesus, I'm not doing well
Human
today.
Human Torch?
Yes, I understand.
I'm not even a dork, and I know these names.
I was going to call her Mrs. Invisible, which
right.
I recognize is not okay.
Ms.
Yes, exactly. Well, isn't she married to him? Yeah.
I think so.
I can't
remember exactly.
And then the Thing wasn't a doctor. He was just
an astronaut or something.
Yeah, he was like a military guy. Yeah. What are we doing?
I think the Thing and Human Torch were like...
This is why Discord is beyond us. We're
cool.
Not even... Yeah.
I think they were cool military guys. And then Invisible Woman and Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Were doctors.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
Still Dr. Doom more powerful.
He does have his own country, and they never really put him away, you know?
My point is that if you Google it, you'll get a different answer.
Okay.
Well, who runs the UN? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I tried this morning, and it works. We'll see if they've changed it. Guys, please go to Google for TV viewers. Any radio listener can do this. Type in... Who is the most powerful doctor in the world? And before you even say powerful, who is the most powerful? It says Bill Gates. And they say he is the most powerful doctor. He is in charge and he will do what he will to you.
So this is actually true. If you Google the words, who is the world's most powerful doctor? The results do say Bill Gates. This is because the search terms identically reflect the title of a 2017 Politico article titled, quote, "Meet the World's Most Powerful Doctor, Bill Gates."
Okay.
The article itself is highly critical of Gates's outsized influence on the World Health Organization, given his status as a major donor, but it's not critical in the same way that Alex might be. For instance, the article points out that, quote, rather than focusing on strengthening healthcare in poor countries, that would help, in their view, to contain future outbreaks like the Ebola epidemic, the agency spends a disproportionate amount of its resources on projects with a measurable outcome that Gates prefers, such as the effort to eradicate polio. Anyway, the fact that this Google search result comes up, it went slightly viral recently, as it has in the past a couple of times. Alex probably just saw it on social media, and now he's complaining about it on his show, which is really sad.
Yeah.
He hasn't even read the Politico article, because if he has, he would recognize that
Oh, that's why it's...
But it actually would be like, oh, this is kind of critical of Gates.
Yeah.
That kind of doesn't work for him.
Yeah. It really seems... far too obvious to say that a billionaire shouldn't have anything to do with just about any decisions regarding, well, anything, but especially health in the modern world.
Yeah, I think it's a complicated question, and I think that, based on the fact that there are Politico articles like this, there are people who are in the appropriate places asking those sorts of questions and wrestling with it. Anyway, because Alex has found this Google search result that he thinks is real cool, he lets himself off the chain a little bit.
Okay.
There it is. Who's the most powerful doctor in the world, ladies and gentlemen? Bill! I'm gonna kill your ass, Bill Gates! Woo! Meet the world's most powerful doctor. And for 4 pages, it says the same thing, because he paid in the search results to tell you, I am the big swinging Johnson! I'm gonna put it in ya!
Whoa, family show, man, family show.
I'm gonna put it in ya.
The big swinging Johnson.
Not something that I want repeated anywhere.
Nah, it's not fun. So
also, isn't the title is ironic or sarcastic? At least meet the world's most powerful doctor, Bill Gates.
Yes,
he's not a doctor. That's the point of the title.
Yes.
Is that this is not
There's
how
an
it's
irony.
Supposed to be?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So he's taking a sarcastic headline literally.
Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. And just wanted to be sure about that.
Yep. He's good at this, man.
He's great at reading comprehension is his jam.
So now someone else who's good at things like guitar.
Sure.
And being a real creep.
I don't know if he's good at those things.
I look, I'm not a music scholar. I don't know anything about this. But okay. Ted Nugent is on the show.
Oh, of course.
I gotta say, Uncle Ted sounds like a bit more of a lunatic than usual.
Okay.
This is an incredible time to be alive, but I'm glad Ted Nugent is there.
Imagine saying that.
Man and a great
Imagine
mother
saying that
Texan.
Seriously.
Thank you for joining us, sir.
My pleasure, Alex. I'm celebrating life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I got my priorities. I think we should quote the greatest philosopher of all times. I think we agree. That was Dirty Harry when he said, a good man knows his limitations. So as I fight against the curse of self-inflicted apathy and Marxism running amok, and whatever creature that is that pretends to be the commander-in-chief and all his crazy supporters, the Nugent family is living the American dream.
He always sounds like he's on coke, but he claims he's 70 years sober.
Yeah. My immediate thought was he got about halfway through a sentence, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You just slow it
down,
slow down, buddy. You're
down.
Already going a little too fast to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ted Nugent seems, like the Motor City Madman might be a little bit more literal.
Sure.
He sounds nuts. And he's
He doesn't live in the Motor City anymore, so.
Well, he does, part-time.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, somewhere in Michigan, at least. he is making this metaphor. It's pained.
Uh-huh.
I think in this metaphor, Old Yeller is the government.
Okay. So you're setting this up as we're going to take a long trip to get to the end of this metaphor.
You bet.
Okay.
Same group suing NRA or suing me. I mean, this is a war, and listeners need to know it's a war.
Well, you know, not just spotlighting the cockroaches, I think the most important lesson has been hidden from generations, and that's the lesson of Old Yeller. We love dogs. When Old Yeller protects us from the snake and the cougar, when Old Yeller brings us the newspaper and our slippers, we give Old Yeller a kiss and a hug and a biscuit. When Old Yeller, the same dog we love dearly, begins foaming at the mouth, We know what we have to do to old Yeller, but we don't embrace difficult and discomforting decisions in life. I use the reference of the Germans who pretended they weren't complicit by their cult of denial of what happened during the genocide. There are Americans today that are hiding from the indicators, hiding from the evidence. So here's the answer. Number one, Alex, everybody who believes in freedom right now more than ever, you have to be a member of the National Rifle Association, Gun Owners of America, the Texas State Rifle Association, all your state Second Amendment organizations. You have to communicate with your mayor, your senator, your congressman, your governor on a weekly basis. I'm just a guitar player.
Slow down.
Yeah, you are just a guitar player, sir.
Wait, this is about guns?
I guess. I so think he's saying we need to overthrow the United States government, right?
We need to put it down like old Yeller.
Yeah, that's kind of his point.
They want gun regulation now.
Was that the lesson of old Yeller?
Now, when the government just lets you have all the guns you want, you give it a pat on the head and give it a biscuit.
I would like to know Ted Nugent's interpretation of Romeo and Juliet. I would like his explanation of that great piece of literature.
Two people meet, fall in love, parents are mean. Kill themselves. It's all good. Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
I guess he's saying that we, you know, we're not happy about it, but we got to kill the government.
Yeah, I guess we just have to kill the government.
Huh. Strange metaphor.
Interesting.
So Alex has gone and done this possibly defamatory video about this Catholic charity. And if I were Ted Nugent, I might not want to sign off on that video just in case. I don't want to get ensnared. I don't want to like actually be on like public
RICO
record being like, hey, that was an awesome thing you did.
That was super cool. And I'm glad I helped plan it with you.
We have to fight back on the activist level peacefully, but communicate on a regular basis. And yes, Alex, Shemaine and I, with our Ted Nugent Spirit of the Wild show and our Spirit Campfire and all the different incredible communication that my wife Shemaine accomplishes, we're coming down to the border because everybody has to know that these children are being trafficked. And when you catch a guy doing it, he plays dumb. Well, that's not dumb. That's demonic. We have to spotlight these devil cockroaches.
These devil cockroaches. This is not good. This is very not good.
That's not good.
Yeah, there are a couple of Ted Nugent is clearly talking about Alex's video.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a couple of huge problems I have with it. Number one, obviously, is Ted Nugent is not allowed to say traffickhead.
Traffickhead. He says it twice.
That's no unacceptable behavior. Unacceptable behavior.
It's very weird.
And I want to know the spelling of demonic because immediately following dumb, it should be D-U-M-B-O-N-I-C, right? Demonic.
Yeah, I mean, if it's on paper, probably.
Yeah, it has to be.
So, jumping from there, I mean, he sort of is endorsing Alex's video, and we have to flush out these folks, these demons.
Obviously.
Now he's sort of saying that they need to kill people who are like the people in Alex's video.
You know, we've been to Africa many times, and Shemaine has done a lot of interviews with some real heroes of law enforcement and the military who have dedicated their lives to saving these women and children that are enslaved and trafficked. And it's happening on a daily basis. And thank God, a big salute to you, not just from the Nugent family, Alex, but a lot of people are watching you spotlight these devils. And we thank you for that. But more and more people have to do it. And then they have to act upon it. You can't identify a foaming at the mouth dog and then go back to your gardening. You have to deal with the rabid dog. You have to eliminate the rabid dog. And if you're not able to do it, call your wildlife control office. But call somebody.
That metaphor fell apart.
Yeah.
I think that what we're listening to is Ted Nugent taking these sort of ideas that Alex has had about everybody's got to go down to the border and, you know, find all this.
Yeah.
And he's going one step further and saying you have to take action.
Yes.
Against the people who are trafficking.
Right.
And boy, you know, that could get really out of hand if your standard of who's trafficking people is as low as Alex is.
Yeah.
This is directly inciting.
See,
this is really fucked up.
This is why we have my new Pizzagate law. If you do a Pizzagate, it's against the law.
He was just talking about literal dogs, though.
Yeah.
He was saying that if a dog has,
What if you just have some stuff on your glasses and then you just murder a dog? Maybe you should think a little bit more.
I can't stress enough how I saw that video when it was making the rounds. I'm like, this sucks. But, you know, this is Alex doing what he does.
Sure.
I hope he gets sued for it.
Sure. Yeah.
Then I listened to his show, and I'm like, it sounds like he's kind of encouraging people to go and do what he's doing, and I think that's probably bad. That seems like the kind of behavior he's done in the past. Nothing could have prepared me for Ted Nugent coming on and making this pained metaphor that is so much worse. That seems to imply that what people need to do is come down there and kill people who are trying to help asylum seekers and refugees.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any thing that could prepare you for a sudden appearance of Ted Nugent telling you to murder.
In a bad metaphor.
Yeah, that's something that I that's Kool-Aid Man levels of surprise.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Now, much like the Kool-Aid Man, he barges through walls. You know that. We're about to get someone else barging through walls, and that is Ted Nugent's son.
Sure.
Ted Nugent.
I want to hear what Ted Nugent's son has to say.
You actually do.
Okay.
Ted Nugent's son is there with him, and uh-huh. Alex wants to talk to him a little bit.
Sure.
And, Nelly.
Here we go.
And then Rocco, I know you're an articulate person in your own right, the great son of Ted Nugent. Well, what is your view on all this?
Man, I'm a little bit more oriented to the metaphysical aspects of it. I feel like I got guy on the front lines of the terrestrial aspect. And me and some of my friends have been tuned into what you've been doing and others like David Icke. And I got more interested in, like, you know, who's really behind the cabal, extraterrestrial beings that are hijacking energy fields of the planet, that are installing slaughterhouses, that are, you know, the motives.
By the way, I totally agree. When you hit the bottom of the rabbit hole, whatever it is, it's anti-human, it's anti-success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Rocco, Ted Nugent's son, is into the spiritual side of this.
Another new law. It should be against the law to grow up rich. That's what that's what I heard right there. No!
So I wanted to understand this a little bit more. I had no idea. I'd never heard Ted Nugent's son. I've never, and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
It was, it was about, there was a cartoon. It was Modern Life something.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
Thank you.
This guy's Modern Life apparently consists of putting out YouTube videos where he's driving. You know, you got the camera on you while you're driving.
Oh, no. He's doing those?
Mic down for this. This was terrifying.
Okay.
Hello, Earth. And anyone else who may be tuning in. The download to be shared today in this moment while the highway is being driven on is a message that just came through the reference point many know as Archangel Michael. And my relationship with Archangel Michael has been one of, he's almost been like the older brother that you didn't really know, because like you were really young when he was at home and then he left for like the military or something, and then you like grew up and then he came back and he's all like stern and transformed, and then he leaves and never comes again. And so he's like this image in your mind of like discipline and like the little brother, like the big brother, he's the bigger brother that holds you accountable to your highest potential. And he has this sword, at least in my interfacing with him, he has a sword that he carries around with him, and it's like a sword of light, and it seems to also be a sword of the divine masculine personified in a device, in a moment, as a sword.
So it's a dick? Is he saying, I think he's saying the sword's a dick?
Yeah, I believe he's saying that the Archangel Michael has a lightsaber shaped like a penis, is essentially what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so Ted Nugent's son puts out videos where he rambles about how he talks to angels.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, somebody should take away his license.
Cool. Now,
okay, so
I was watching a few of these, and you know, there's just a bit there's just a bit of like, you know, sort of that spirituality that is kind of untethered and a little bit Camelot-y
in
many ways.
He's talking about the Archangel Michael as that older brother who went away and joined the military and then came back to you and also has a giant lightsaber sword that looks like a dick.
And he gave him a download. And the download, spoiler alert, is The greatest FOMO, you know, the fear of missing out?
No.
The greatest...
No, no, you do not. No, you do not continue, sir. Sir? Sir?
The greatest FOMO is missing out on what you could have been if you didn't get your shit together earlier.
I really, really, really need to throw a thing.
Yeah. Archangel Michael coming down with his sword to blow minds. So now I was thinking, like, okay, I could play some more things from these videos that are just kind of silly.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I don't know. That kind of content is the kind of stuff that I'm like, I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to get away from this.
Yeah.
And I figured there's something better I could tell you. And that is that Ted Nugent's son is also a rapper.
Oh, no! Oh, God. Don't do this to me.
No.
No! No!
Had to tell you no, had to tell you no, had to tell you no, had to say no. I had to walk away, I had to talk to me. I had lost my faith, I had lost myself, I had lost my health. Tearing in the windows, kitchen soup in hell.
Yeah, it's basically that. I found that it was a little bit, I mean, it makes a compelling argument for there being such a thing as too much auto-tune.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely the case. Man, how much would it suck to not even suck as much as Chet Hanks? You know, or just suck more than Chet Hanks? Like, that's bad.
I feel really bad because I don't want to, like, mock someone's creative outlet.
Sure.
I think that's bad. But also,
I want to mock rich kids' creative output. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this is not quality music.
Yeah.
And I also think it's funny that it's Ted Nugent's son. trying to make this nonsense music.
You're not even the best worst son. That's the worst part about it.
Amazing.
Oh, man.
So,
Jesus.
Anyway, this has been Get to Know Rocco and His Modern Life.
Yes, yep.
And now we move on.
Now we would like to unknow.
Yeah. So they leave. The Nugent family leaves. Oh, also just remember that Ted Nugent's wife is a really huge QAnon supporter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got into an argument about it with Alex.
Of course, of course.
A couple months back.
No, naturally.
Good family.
Yeah.
So they leave, and Alex lights a literal candle, but maybe it's also a metaphor.
I'm being honest with listeners. I know the metaphysical's real. I know God's real. I know the spirit's like a fire. And you can't just keep that fire under yourself. You got to share it with other people, like this candle I'm lighting here in studio with Ted Nugent right now on TV and radio with a simulcasting. They want to put America's flame out. They want to put our republic's flame out. But they can't do it if we continue to share it. But if they're able to demoralize us and make us be cowards and make us be fearful, they can put that flame out. But you're aware of them trying it. They don't have the power to do that anymore.
Alex is becoming more and more of a prop comic.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's doing like one of those Christmas candles where you only burn it for it's like red, green, red, green, red, green. And every day before Christmas, you burn the red one off and then you turn it out and then you burn the green one off. But it's for the end of the Republic?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like, you know, when he had that skull and the goblet or whatever.
A lot of people will think, what does this mean? And I'm asking you, what does this mean?
I am going to light this candle because I want to talk about the metaphor of a candle, but I also want you to be able to see it.
Because there's a moment before this where he screamed at some 18-year-old, get me a candle. Mm-hmm. That's the problem here.
I would say there's a pretty good chance. So Alex has not really covered a lot of news, but he has a lot of articles in a stack, but I mean, who cares?
Well, they're tweets.
I could spend an hour on each one of these articles and discover every little piece of it and talk about how it works and talk about how it's a deployment. But at the end of the day, you get caught up in making it your God by giving it all your attention. Just know this. Whatever comes out of these people's mouths is meant to kill your ass.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay, we can just make that decision.
What you need to know is that I need you emotionally aroused at all times, but if you learn anything, that will stop.
I don't think that there's any better encapsulation of Alex Jones's sort of style than that. That I could spend an hour on this and all the information, all the minutiae. Get really into the weeds.
Yeah.
On this.
Well, he's a policy wonk, as we know. Yeah.
You know, we could really get into this, but just know that whatever they're saying, they're trying to kill you.
So really, there's no point for me to have any of this in front of me.
So instead of getting into the nitty gritty, being a policy wonk, which you could do.
Oh, no, of course.
But you just assume that they're just trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Instead of getting into the weeds and really figuring this out, he decides to spend his time doing the big work. And that, of course, means complaining about Saturday Night Live.
We never aired it. I don't know if they can find it. But it's the Saturday Night Live. And they're like, coming up on Saturday Night Live, black people won't take the vaccine. So they have a black guy with a British accent, like he's smart, but other black people aren't. They don't. Love British accents.
Pull and up.
A British
guy. You got an engine on fire.
Literally going, I'll give you black people barbecue and watermelon or whatever if you take the shot. And the black guy has like a classic southern voice, like that's dumb.
You are no Sully Sullenberger.
And it's literally them caricatures making fun of black people with a black guy with a British accent being racist to them because of their accent from where they are, saying they're fighting racism, and then it's on CNN. I mean, I can't. These people piss me off, man, and it's constant.
What?
Okay, so,
did you see that SNL sketch?
I saw the first little bit of it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah,
get it.
Yeah,
It's not hard to get.
I think that there are some people who took umbrage with it, and I say huzzah, rightfully so. That was probably a poorly conceived sketch. I think that people did not enjoy it, you can find articles in all sorts of media expressing that sentiment.
Yeah.
That it was maybe poorly constructed and conceived.
Yeah.
That said, Alex's point about it is outrageous.
I mean, I think he was trying to say that it was a racist sketch, but he did so by being more racist towards...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the person who's hosting...
Daniel Kaluuya?
Yeah.
Kaluuya, I believe. Yeah,
he
is
British.
Yes.
But he's not doing a British accent in that sketch.
No, he's not.
No.
Specifically... He's not doing a British accent,
yes.
Despite having one.
And I think that what happened is that Alex just saw like a outrage compilation of like some of his jokes from the monologue.
Right.
Where he's speaking in his British accent.
So he knows that the guy is British.
And assumes,
well, he doesn't know that the guy is British.
And he assumes that that carries over to the sketch as well.
Or he doesn't
understand how the structure of Saturday Night Live works.
No, absolutely not.
So if you haven't seen the sketch, the idea was that there's this guy who is a doctor and his family won't take the vaccine.
Right.
And so he's having a game show to get them to take the vaccine.
Yeah.
And he keeps offering money for the correct answer, which is, yes,
I will get the vaccine. Yes.
And so one of his family members, played by Keenan, he says, he asks what he would do with the money if he won.
Sure.
And he says, I'll roll up some joints, smoke some weed.
Sure.
Get a big barbecue block party going, get a new grill or whatever. And that, Alex has extrapolated out into being like trying to entice black people with barbecue and watermelon.
He has
added an even more racist
That's what
layer.
I was saying.
Yes.
He didn't need to add the more racist part.
No.
And SNL was, you know, like you get it because they were creating that caricature that they love to do on Celebrity Jeopardy. But what actually happened is they relied on stereotypes to make fun of. Yeah.
So I think that Alex thinks that because this sketch is clunky and possibly somewhat offensive.
Yeah.
It gives him carte blanche to be even more racist.
I give you the barbecue, you take
No.
It.
No.
Can you imagine
no.
if I had a show?
No.
And I got up there and I went, I give you black people some barbecue. Yeah, it would be in fact, cue that up if you can. This is what I'm talking about. It is everything they say we are is them.
What about Fentanyl the Dragon?
I was going to say, also, it kind of sounded like he slipped into Fentanyl the Dragon there.
He doesn't have a lot of rage.
He's trying to do a racist black person accent, and then he slipped into a racist Chinese accent. So that's great.
He is no Caliendo.
No. He is not Rich Little.
No. So Alex tries to play the clip of it, and he fails.
Yeah, here it is. Let's cue it up. In fact, if you have the audio ready, you got the audio ready? You guys pulled it up really quick. Great. They have it. Okay, here it is. Well, watch this for yourself. It's okay. Our computers. Hey, I only have like a $100,000 computer in there. It's not the crew's fault. The $100,000 computer messes up about 1% of the time. The $1 million computer hardly ever messes up. So I can't afford the $1 million switcher. So it just locked up on them. But whenever it boots back up, we'll play it for you.
What? You got to boot back up?
Yeah. You know.
What?
You got to restart. Look, it's a $1 million machine, but it still runs on Windows 95.
This is the $100,000 one. He can't afford the million.
That one doesn't even run on Windows 95. That guy's running DOS prompts.
I wonder if, like, what actually happened was that there was, like, a producer in his ear during that long silence that was like, hey, those voices that you're doing and the way you're characterizing the sketch, if you play the sketch...
this is not going to go well.
You're going to be shown to be wrong.
You're a racist.
Yes, this is going to look bad.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what happened. It would make sense.
Yeah.
Based on the incredibly long pause. And then eventually they do play what I think is the outrage compilation that he's only... the only thing that he's aware of.
Right.
Which is the clips of the monologue and then a short clip of that sketch.
Right.
And then he's just written a story about it in his head that is more racist than the original version.
Wild. Yeah. Wildly racist.
Yep.
Yeah.
So at this point, Alex has a reporter named Sheila Gunn Reid on his show. She is a reporter with Rebel Media.
Sure. Trustworthy.
Great.
Yeah.
And she's on to talk about a certain church in Canada that is under attack.
Uh-oh.
Well, thanks for having me, Alex, and thanks so much for your ongoing interest in this story. It's truly an international story, despite what the mainstream media in my home province would have you believe. This church has been the flashpoint for the fight for religious freedom in Canada during the pandemic. The pastor there, Pastor James Coates, was arrested and incarcerated for 35 days in a maximum security provincial facility for refusing to limit his congregation to 15% of fire code capacity as per the public health orders here in Alberta. He refused to comply. He said it violated his religious freedom. So he was taken into custody. He's been released now, but the crackdown on his church has not stopped.
So this is the Grace Life Church in Alberta. And like Sheila was saying, the pastor of this church, James Coates, was arrested in February after repeated breaches of COVID safety measures.
Yeah.
He was given multiple opportunities and warnings to follow the rules, and he refused to do so. So he got arrested and then released on the condition that he stopped breaking the rules, which he immediately proceeded to break again.
Literally everybody involved was like, dude, we don't want to do this.
Yep.
You don't want to do that. Well, obviously you want to turn yourself into a fucking martyr.
Mm-hmm. So in response to his trouble, a group of 28 community leaders from various religious backgrounds released a statement that, quote, stressed the need to prioritize the well-being of all members of society over individual needs during the pandemic and to follow the directives of public health officers and the government.
Someone acting Christ-like? Kill them!
Just this week, the Alberta Health Service shut down the church by putting fences up around it, quote, until the church can demonstrate the ability to comply with Alberta's chief medical officer of health's restrictions.
Do you hear what they said?
They put you
are
in timeout.
Teens. Yeah. They put you in timeout. Yeah. Until you can eat your goddamn vegetables, you don't get to go to church.
Yeah, you can't use the phone until you can learn to not prank call people or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. Yep. I think closing the church is kind of murky territory, honestly, and I'm not sure how I would proceed if I were in charge there, but this is Canada. If the local folk there in Alberta are terribly opposed to this closure, then they can work on that with the local government. But from everything I've seen, pretty much everybody outside the church itself seems fine with the fact that they, you know, if you're not going to follow the restrictions, they're not even... The restrictions are 15% capacity. It's not even
you don't even have to close the church. Yeah.
No.
Just fucking live stream it. Dude, we don't want to put you in jail. It would be stupid. This is stupid. You're
Let's
a child.
Find ways to work this out
Stop
in ways
it.
That work for everybody.
Please. Just go away.
Anyway, there's a 15% capacity that he's supposed to follow,
sure,
but
sure,
not everybody has to follow that.
Because it's 15% of fire code capacity. But the Walmart up the road, but the Costco up the road, they can operate at 30% of fire code capacity. So this virus is truly amazing. It knows if you're going to Walmart or if you're going to Praise God.
This is embarrassing, pretending to not understand the different capacities for different things.
Yeah, no, get the fuck out of here.
Like, I would totally bet that Walmart would have a 15% capacity order if it were a place where people congregated for long periods of time, sat in place, and sang.
So stupid.
The things you do at Walmart while you're wearing a mask, which they didn't do at this church.
Oh, that was really surprising to me. Yeah. I assumed that they all still wore masks.
No.
No, that's surprising.
You know, you're required to wear a mask to enter the Walmart, and you walk around and leave.
Yeah.
That's why maybe you could have 30% capacity there safely, as yeah, opposed to a building where everyone sits and sings.
Yeah, that is like, listen, I know the word is supposed to be mainly geometry-based, but you are being obtuse.
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex gets to talking about his SPARS conspiracy a little bit.
Sure.
And I thought he was kind of done with Sheila and the church.
Yeah.
He is not.
Oh, well.
But he does say this, and I think it's silly.
Emergency Saturday broadcast, world shocked by SPARS, 2025-2028 document, 2,073,000 views. Well, that sounds great at band.video. It needs 100 million views and we beat these people. It's all right there. But 2 million is a good start. But I'm not doing this and putting my life on the line and flying a helicopter right on the Mexican border where they shoot at helicopters and doing all this to, like, lose.
Yeah, I think that that's really illustrative, too. It's like Alex's gauge of being able to beat the globalists has to do with his metrics. They are traffic related. We will win if we get 100 million. Like, no, you won't.
The globalist just watching the view. Oh, shit. He's at 99,999,998. No. If he gets two more, we lose.
Sir, shut down the internet.
Shut the internet down.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a little bit irresponsible that Alex is, you know, largely, at least subtly, maybe not so subtly, encouraging people to go down to the border and behave as he did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just to cost people trying to help. I think that's a humanity is generally widely recognized to have evolved society by killing people trying to help.
And I think that the only effect that that could possibly have is escalating a situation, raising the temperature beyond the point where it's easily handled by responsible people.
Yeah.
This is not the only instance of him doing this on this show.
This should be the Christian Woodstock. Everyone in Canada that can get there, I'd say the U.S., but your borders are so controlled, unless you're a legal alien. Everyone should go there, bring pizzas, bring barbecues, bring... I think if 20,000 people show up, it will turn the tide against this tyranny. Don't you agree? Everyone should come there. Tell us where it is.
So that church is just west of the capital city of Edmonton, Alberta. It's really, you know, just a couple of miles outside of the city limits. It's very easy to get to. And, you know, there's a public road right there. You can get there. And
for those who are listening, they must go now. What is the name? What is the address? Everyone must go now.
It's Grace Life Church.
So, yeah, everyone's got to go. Everyone's got to go to this church. It should be a Christian Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
So that means Jars of Clay will be performing.
Sure.
DC Talk is going to reunite.
Oh, it's about time.
Yep.
It's about time. Red Hot Chili Peppers is going to play with just the socks on.
Ted Nugent's son is going to do a set. Yeah, this seems irresponsible.
Yeah.
And it gets kind
of
worse.
Oh, of course.
It's 51520 or 51529 A-Range Road 262 Spruce Grove AB. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, so here's the deal. Instead of being like, and I'm not putting you down because you're just like me, you're like, oh, thanks for caring that they've put a fence up and arrested the preacher. Thanks for caring.
It sounds insulting.
We're under attack, okay? You're under attack, so are we. All of us need to go there. If you're in Canada or if you're near the border, you get in legally, go there peacefully, give aid and comfort to Christians under CHICOM, governor, attack the CHICOM agent. I just showed you him pledging allegiance to Xi Jinping, Trudeau. Everyone should go there. So they're scared, aren't they?
Trudeau did no such thing.
No, he did not.
Yeah, so this is irresponsible, and certainly hope that nothing ends up happening there that Alex might look bad in.
Yeah.
In hindsight, giving the address out and soliciting and inciting people to go. Because the church is under attack by the communist Chinese and Justin Trudeau. Fucked up.
Yeah, there's no other way for that to, like, it goes two ways. It goes with a bunch of people showing up and being like, oh, shit, this was dumb. Or a bunch of people showing up and getting whipped into a mob and like, let's go down 2 miles and start wars, you know, like that.
And when you think you're fighting the fucking literal devil, it seems like the latter is more likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think this is good. And I mean, it's obviously that they are fighting the devil.
Alex, I've never, ever seen overt Satanism in real life before.
There you told me one of them said Satan is good. Tell people about that.
I've never seen overt Satanism like that. As you and I both know, the enemy works through all kinds of people. But this person drove by in a pickup truck, screamed at women and children whose church they're looking at being locked up. So they're distraught. And this guy screams at them that he's happy that their church is being closed. And then he yells at other people and he says to them, even the church of Satan follows masking laws. And that's why you should too. As a Christian, if you're telling me that Satan likes it, I'm more inclined to not do it. But that's the level of public discourse here.
Yeah, some guy in a truck said that we're Satanists and even we wear masks.
That's the level of overt Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
That she's...
Yep.
Man, this is the weakest of teas.
Yep.
This is weak tea. Because I would even have bought it if she was just like, he screamed out the window, I love Satan. Because then it's like, yeah, of course you say that shit. They're a bunch of assholes.
She doesn't seem to be as willing to let it fly as Alex.
No clue. He's just like, hey, guys, ostensibly your most evil worshipers in the world are still
concerned with public health and our fellow man than you.
Satanists don't want people to die of disease. do you not understand where you are in this situation?
Yeah, that seems to be what this Satanist, alleged Satanist, because you might have been just fucking around.
Yeah, that sounds more like that.
Anyway, some guy yelled from a truck, and all this is going on, and so Alex encourages something... Man, he should be careful with his language.
Well, I'm telling my listeners, I'm telling them, if you live in Canada, whether you're 500 miles away or 20, you must go there, bring some muffins, bring some food, support these great people, because the system has drawn the line here. The enemy has drawn a line at your church. The enemy's drawn a line and said, and so they've chosen this as their Stalingrad, and I think we should make this their Stalingrad.
Oh, boy.
Who's chosen this as their Stalingrad? Nobody's chosen this as a Stalingrad. This is way below the level of Stalingrad.
You bet. Also, not for nothing, the Soviet Union won that battle.
Well,
the communists. So, Alex, you might want a better metaphor. Also, Stalingrad was incredibly violent.
Yeah.
I don't know if Alex wants to evoke that kind. I mean, obviously he does, but it doesn't seem responsible to evoke that kind of imagery surrounding what he's trying to incite people to go be a part of.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm putting together. On this very episode, he said literally like everything they say we're doing is what they're doing.
Right.
Right. Now, I would say that is revelatory about what he's doing, and I'm going to say that he worships Satan, because this is the behavior of someone who worships Satan.
That was just when he was younger.
I don't think he stopped.
Isn't that a
possibility?
It's a long-term theory of yours. I understand that. So, look, dude, I think that this episode is really fucked up. There's multiple incitements towards listeners going to places that Alex seems to want to get out of hand.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Even if I was the shithead pastor of that church, I would be like, Alex, no, we don't. No. We don't want that.
We want support. But
you're bad support.
And it really, honestly, you know, Sheila wants to bring up that this could all be solved if all the pastors in the area weren't against this guy.
it's very disappointing to see some of the other pastors in the area say, well, why isn't this church making the same sacrifices that I am?
They make it a sacrifice to not to be shut down. They make it a sacrifice to traffic kids. They make it a sacrifice to submit. Those aren't real churches, and God knows it.
Oh, boy.
These other pastors, I mean, if they can reconcile...
These aren't pastors. These are World Council of Churches, Rockefeller pimps.
So this is a point of the episode where I was sort of lost in thought, and I started to think, I have an interesting thought experiment.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not a thought experiment.
Sure.
Question, rhetorical question.
Sure, sure.
Do you think that Alex Jones could name a living member of the Rockefeller family?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. 0% chance.
I don't think he could.
No. I do like that this also plays into what should be very obvious to anybody, is if it weren't for immigration and racism, Christians would be murdering each other left and right. They hate each other. They don't believe the same shit. They're all nonsense.
Well, I mean, like, there are the sort of, you know, with this letter of the 28 religious leaders in Alberta, they were all like, hey, come on. Let's take this seriously.
Do you know what was in that letter? Even the Church of Satan is willing to...
That letter was delivered from a truck.
From a truck, yes.
Yeah, it's rare that you get, the Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist communities walking arm in arm with the Satanists.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
But this church is enough of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, my God, guys. They're giving us a bad name.
Alex is trying to get people to go
to
this church and have it be their Stalingrad. Mm-hmm. Someone's Stalingrad.
Anybody's Stalingrad.
And in order for this to sound better, he wants Sheila to do it. He wants
her to tell everybody to go there.
Yeah, because
naturally,
then he could be like, she did it.
Yeah,
I didn't do
that. Yeah, absolutely. Implicate somebody else in your crime.
She's not as into it as Alex hopes.
I feel it. I see it. I think it'll be 5,000 people tomorrow, 10,000 this weekend. I think they've jumped the shark. Call. You need to do it. Beautiful, beautiful soul. Tell people, Sheila Gunn-Reid, come peacefully now. Call them. Tell them.
If people are going to come to support Grace Life, they welcome the support. But if you're coming, come peacefully and come respectfully. But they would appreciate your support. They need it now more than ever. Their church has been seized by the state. They need all the
and
support.
Obviously,
that they
we want
can
to
get.
Be peaceful, but we need you to then call them. Say, help us. Call them.
Well, I don't want to speak for the church, Alex. I really don't want to.
But just
speak
as a Canadian, as a human, I'm just saying that everyone needs to hear you call for that. I'm calling for it. We call for people to stand up for religious freedom.
Absolutely.
Like, I'll go that far.
Yeah.
I'll support religious freedom. Is this what, like, journalists do?
I guess.
Alex thinks reporters do? They come on shows and try and...
demand murders.
I mean, if she's supposed to be covering this story, it doesn't make sense for the interview to end with him begging her to call people to come to this church.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, this isn't any kind of reporting. This is at best activism and at worst, and in reality, incitement.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode is nuts.
Sheila, you're a bad person.
I mean, I think she's... I don't know enough about her to really have a full picture, but based on her behavior, I think she's trying to stay a little more neutral than Alex wants her to be.
I do agree with you there.
She doesn't understand that Alex is like, she's talking to a guy who's a parody version
of
right-wing media outlet.
Oof. Oh, boy.
She's used to, Ezra Levant.
Pretend seriousness.
And at least, like... I don't necessarily want to get sued.
Sure, 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 sure.
Alex doesn't seem to care. I'm behaving in ways where I clearly want people to fucking sue me.
I fear consequences, and Alex apparently doesn't.
Yeah.
In Canada, we might get consequences. In America, Alex receives none.
Alex has learned over the course of his career not to respect the idea of chickens coming home
law.
To roost.
Yeah.
And that's why he behaves the way he does.
Yeah, pretty much.
I listened to this episode and I was blown away by, like, okay, I thought that video was bad. And yeah. I thought it, I still think it's bad. I think it's terrible. I think it's legally actionable and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't expect for the episode afterwards to be worse.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought we were going to have a little fun clowning on that dumb video. I hadn't seen it, so I was, you know, I was waiting for the show, obviously. And
there's not much to
instead,
see.
Instead, we got a concentrated bouillon cube of racism and incitement to violence.
Yeah, yeah. And I really, I mean, I mean this. I hope that nothing happens.
Yeah, me too.
His behavior in the past has led to people going and fucking with people and victimizing people in ways that are irresponsible and terrible. And for him to have two targets of, like, everyone's got to go to these places in one day is really, really scary, what it could portend. Now, admittedly, it could lead to nothing. But the danger is there, and that is... I just don't think it's acceptable to act this way.
Yeah, I mean, see, can't you see in a courtroom, like, Your Honor, in this trial, we aim to prove that Alex Jones did another Pizzagate. If we prove that, then he goes away forever, right? That's good.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm a bad prosecutor.
Yeah, certainly. I don't know how you do that in court, but, like, just for the sake of, like, a podcast that explores these things.
Sure.
I think you can definitely say he's behaving in exactly the same ways as he has when things have gone bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's not good.
We should learn from the things that have already happened.
Yeah.
I think that would be wise.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed, things work out okay. And I guess we'll find out on our next episode.
I am calling on people to not go to the border or that church.
Yes.
I strongly call on everyone to not do either of those things.
Yeah, I'm in favor of people.
Stay home.
Yeah.
Have a nice little cocktail.
Yeah.
Isn't that better than going to the border or a weird church in Canada?
Yep.
I think so.
We will be back. But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
I forgot. Also,
what's that?
Like I said, we're going to... Our Monday episode will be on Wednesday.
It'll be on Wednesday, yes.
But if I'm feeling better, might put out a little thing on Monday. We'll see. Also, we're going to be on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at Nell Joseph. I go to bed, Jordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. If you would like to download the show, and if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis.
So what do you think about them apples?
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.